Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Melanie C. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, February 20th, 2020. And it's a 10 a.m. Eastern Time Big Book Study meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others. We're on page 91, reading paragraph 2. And it begins with, when your man is better, and then ends with, he may be more receptive when depressed. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Karen W., the 12 Traditions, Terry S. Reading the text today and being support in that way is Leslie M., Donna W., Stacy K., newcomer greeter, sponsor info getter is Elena A.M., and announcements is Robin P. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning, this is Karen W., recovered on Long Island, New York. The 12 steps. Number one, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for the opportunity that I have.
Thank you, Karen W. I will now ask Terry S. to please read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon. 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants, they do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terry S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And this is to pay attention to the star 1 key function only on your phone, please, not your own personal mute button. Today we resume our study in the Big Book in the chapter Working with Others, page 91, paragraph 2, when your man is better, and ends with, he may be more receptive when depressed. And I will ask Leslie W. to read that paragraph and then open with her experience with that. Thank you. Hi, Leslie.
Good morning, Melanie. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. When your man is better, the doctor might suggest a visit from you. Though you have talked with the family, leave them out of the first discussion. Under these conditions, your prospect will see he is under no pressure. He will feel he can deal with you without being nagged by his family. Call on him while he is still jittery. He may be more receptive when depressed. With this paragraph, the two things that come across to me is, under these conditions, your prospect will see he is under no pressure. And that's one thing that I can do now. I have to say, when I first started sponsoring, I was putting pressure on everybody, my sponsees and myself. Through time, I have learned that I am not in charge of anything, and I'm very grateful to know that today. You know, I can try to carry this message, but I am not in charge of the results, and I have to remember that. So I don't put any pressure. If they want to talk to me, that's great. If they don't want to talk to me, that's great also. If I don't plant a seed, you know, it's all good, because it continues to keep me where I need to be in my recovery by trying to be useful to someone. You know, it says in this book over and over again that we can't help everyone, you know, that my experience may not resonate with someone else. And I just have to, you know, I have to keep that in mind. You know, as I always say to everybody that I'm sponsoring, you know, we just try to carry this message. You know, if I don't connect with, if I make 3, 4, 5 phone calls today and I don't connect with anybody, it was okay because I picked up the phone and I tried to carry the message. The other thing is, it says here, he may be more receptive when depressed. And I certainly know that that was true for me. My experience was that I had gotten abstinent and I was 7 weeks abstinent and working the fourth step. And I went to a face-to-face meeting and someone shared something that got in my head. And I ended up binging over that. And I know that after that, I was so depressed. But it was also, I had the realization at that point that food was going to be my master if I didn't do something different. And I knew then, you know, that I had to surrender to this. And I was, I was at that jittery place, at that depressed place of like, is this ever going to work for me? But, you know, I spoke with my sponsor, we formulated a plan, and I started over. And that was the surrender in my heart that I needed, that I was a compulsive overeater, and that nothing was going to be different unless I did something different. And for me, that surrender included saying, yes, ma'am, instead of yes, but, because I was not terminally unique. And because I was depressed about eating again, that it gave me new resolve to follow these directions more closely. And the rest is history. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie M. Excellent. Thank you. Now we've come to the time where it's open for everyone to comment their experience, strength, and hope on paragraph 2, page 91. If you give me your first name and the first initial of your last name, we can create a lineup here. Somebody C.
Julie.
Elena C.
Elena C. Julie, are you EB?
EB.
Okay. Oh, I was ready for a rush. Elena and Julie EB. Anyone else?
Esther F.
Hi, Esther. Gotcha.
Hi.
Ross G, I'll share.
Oh, hey, Ross. Gotcha.
Sherry,
please
Josie.
Add a couple more. Hi, Sherry Jo.
Thank you.
Robin P.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, Robin. This is what I have. Elena C, Julie E B, Esther F, Roz G, Sherry Jo C, and Robin P. So let's go back up the line. Hi, Elena C. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, my sisters and brothers in recovery. My name is Elena C. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery from Greenville, South Carolina. And I am, I just love these guidelines from this paragraph and the paragraphs before, and I believe the one that will follow. And I appreciated the reminder of the non-involvement of the family. And it's a reminder for me, that alcoholism addiction is a family disease, and then family cannot be helpful at times, is not helpful. And the reason is not helpful is because, you know, they're hurt, their own hurt, their own internal mechanism that is going on that, you know, that was caused more or less by the impact of our addiction on them. And, you know, I heard someone say, somebody recovered in the program, that the family is the last to be redeemed, the last relationship to be redeemed. And I was like, whoa, you know, that's so true. And not only that, but it's an ongoing, it cannot just be redeemed, boom, it's an ongoing. And, you know, it's a reminder for me to just like, be compassionate for them, towards them, and do the best I can, and take care of me. And also, you know, I appreciated in this paragraph the teamwork and how, you know, at times there's for addiction, there are times when the professionals need to be put into place and the program might need more. So recovery in the program might need more than just the program, might need hospitalization, might need professionals. But those who understand addiction, because I'm a mental health professional myself, and there's so many of us, of people who don't understand addiction in mental health, and I am sad about that, but that's another story. But I'm so glad to be here with that up there.
Thanks so much, Elena C. Julie E. B., your 3 minutes start now, and then Esther F. will follow.
Hello, this is Julie E. B., gratefully recovered today in Colorado Springs. I'm just really glad to be on this meeting this morning, really glad that someone saw that I was out of options, that I was perplexed, confused, depressed, down, had no idea what to do. You know, I've been up and down so many times, and it's a sad thing. It's a very painful place to be at this stage where you just feel like you're out of options. You know, it's one thing for us to come on, you know, some of us years later, having experienced this freedom and say, you know, how glad we were and how we were desperate and we were willing. And but I find for myself and even sometimes with recovered sponsees that I kind of over-remember in my memory how very willing and empty of self-will I was by the time I was ready to get better. I have to take myself with a grain of salt to know there were certain pieces of me that were kicking and screaming along the way. And so we love and we share, and we don't have superiority. We never criticize or argue. Love and tolerance is our code. So in talking to this person that's at this down place, we can share that there, not only do we share a common problem, but we have a common solution. And when they're really down, might be a time we can tell them that there is a way out. And that's what I want to offer. This is a sad, difficult moment. Some of us have come to know it as a moment of victory when we're willing to change. But for the person still suffering, I hope you do make a call today. I hope you do find a sponsor, find a way out, find this book, and get into it. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you, Julie E.B. Esther F., it's your turn now, and then Roz D. will follow.
Good morning. It's Esther F. I don't usually share, but I heard a couple callers ago saying that you need to carry the message, and I kind of feel like my higher power said, now's your time. So I'm on the line, and I'm sharing. For me, if my family had been involved in the beginning, I might not be where I'm at right now. They loved me to death. They always suggested diets. Every way that I could try to lose weight, they were suggesting what I should do, taking me to diets. So if my mom or if my mom had said, I'm going to take you, you know, to Overeaters Anonymous, I probably would not have been open to it because every single time she took me somewhere, it never worked for me. So for me, getting to the place where I was absolutely had the gift of desperation is what really worked for me. And so I'm just grateful that I got to that place. And when I did, I was open for my sponsor and all of my fellows to show me how I needed to recover. And it worked. That's what worked for me. I just had the gift of desperation, and I was willing to do whatever they told me to do, and that worked for me. And so, I don't really talk to many of my sponsee's family members. I don't think I really have ever, because I think it's a decision that we all have to make for ourselves, and no one can make it for us. And so, that's what my experience has been. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Esther F. Roz G., it's your turn now, and then Sherry Jill will follow you.
Hi, Melanie. Good morning, Vision for You people. This is Roz G., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Palmdale, California. So glad to be abstinent since July 10th. You know, this paragraph and this chapter has so many qualities that I have learned to acquire in my relationship program that starts with an A, ends with an N. And there's a saying there that can be applicable here is to not force solutions. I wanted people to do what I wanted them to do, and I thought that I had the solution, the world according to Roz. And I have found as I mature in the steps, as I mature in recovery, as I grow in an abstinent way of living, that being gentle about so many things in life and allowing things to occur, and I don't mean laying down and just, you know, not being proactive. No, not at all. I don't mean that. But in this situation, by simply being present, being aware, and offering my help has been a way for people to feel safe And because, you know, I certainly didn't like it and don't like it when, you know, I make an outreach call or I talk to a sponsor and they're forceful about things. You know, maybe at first I thought that was kind of cool, you know, or you hear people talking, I was scared of my sponsor, and everybody laughs and stuff. And, you know, as I mature, I really don't care for that. I did at first. But I think that being gentle, kind, loving, tolerant, as I've heard other people share, and allowing, you know, God to be in the results, offering my help. I have a home meeting at a hospital, and, you know, just the name of our meeting being there is a way of saying we're here for you. And people need to come to their own place of, you know, their own diagnosis, their own bottom, and then offering that beacon of light, that hope, that lighthouse. Being there when the time is right. God's timing is never late. And with that, I pass. Thank you, Melanie.
Thank you so much, Roz. Okay, Sherry Jo C., it's your turn. Then Robin P., and then we'll open it up in the next 6 minutes or so. Hi, Sherry Jo.
Good morning. This is Sherry Jo C., a recovered compulsive eater in Southern California. Gosh, I'm just so, once again, so grateful for this meeting. The shares have been so terrific this morning and throughout this whole time we've been reading the 12th step. And as I've been thinking about the concept of service and specifically sponsorship, the thing that keeps coming back to me is how completely isolated I was when I was in the depths of my illness. And I was talking to a friend yesterday who said to me she doesn't think that the opposite of being in addiction is being in sobriety or abstinence, obviously. I mean, I know for myself that abstinence is absolutely necessary. It is the absolute first step and the foundation to my entire recovery. But what she said to me was that she thinks the opposite of addiction is connection. And I started thinking more about that, and it made me realize how completely alone I felt when I was in my disease. And how isolated I was. I was isolated and disconnected from myself. I had no idea who I was. I had no control over the choices that I made. From moment to moment in the course of a day, I couldn't stay abstinent for a minute, even after I swore off. And how isolated I was from my family, from other people that were around me. I was around other people, but I wasn't close to them. And you know, how completely disconnected I was from any concept of a higher power or a loving presence in my life. And the God-shaped hole in me was huge. And, you know, when I came into the program, I like to say I fell into the loving arms of the Detroit Back to Basics Abstinence Meeting. And I fell into the loving arms of my sponsor, who never pushed her way on me. I think, you know, her approach was, you know, if you're done, you're done. And if you're not, keep going till you're done. And, you know, what I felt, though, with her was that she was there. Like, I could feel her connection with me. I could feel her caring. And I could feel her watching me. And I said, okay, I'm willing, you know, to commit my food every day, but I don't want to weigh in measure. And she's like, okay, try that. And I did, and it didn't work. And then I became willing to weigh in measure for 5 years, and on, I became more and more willing. So I really think that, you know, this whole step is about, it's about our humanity. It's about our humanity as people and being connected to myself, my fellows, and an attitude of service and to my higher power. Thank you for allowing me to share. I pass.
Thank you, Sherry Jo C. Robin P., your 3 minutes start now, and then after you, we're going to open it up. So I wanted to just mention for folks that are going to be waiting 3 minutes, we're on page 91. We're taking apart paragraph 2 today, when your man is better, and ends with he may be more receptive when depressed, so get ready. Hi, Robin. Your 3 starts now.
Thank you so much, Mel. I'm Robin. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And the line that sticks out to me is, he may be more receptive when depressed. You know, that to me, that was hitting bottom. I just, boy, you know, it was such a disease and is such a disease of denial. And there were times when I said, I got this, you know, the definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, hoping for a different result, you know, and I just kept thinking, I'm okay. Today I'll do this. Oh, I've got a plan today. And my plans failed every time until I began working the program and surrendered. But it took, and part of that was getting depressed and getting down and really getting defeated and knowing I was defeated. And when my sponsor asked me, are you willing to go to any length to recover? I, without a beat, I just said, yes. And I knew I was. And that's the daily reminder I get to just every day, you know, the first three steps. I'm powerless over food and my life's become unmanageable. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity and made decisions to turn my will and my life over to the care of God. Not over to the care of Robin, but over to the care of God. And it really helps me with the 11th step with that too. You know, just really surrendering, praying only for knowledge of his will for me and the power to carry that out. It keeps it so simple when I'm willing to stay surrendered and have faith. So God bless everybody in your recoveries, and I pray that you have a blessed day. Thanks so much for letting me share.
Thank you, Robin P. The lines are open for additional comments on paragraph 2, page 91 of your big book. If you'd like to press star 1 on your phone keypad, I'll be able to take
your name. Carrie S.
Carrie S. Something C. Did I hear CT?
Yes, CTT.
And that's the name. CTT. Okay, thanks so much. Did I hear
Kathleen O?
Barbara E. And then
yes,
Kathleen? Okay, great.
Audrey T.
Hey, Audrey. Gotcha, Audrey T.
Stacey.
I have room for. Hi, Stacey. Let's, yeah. Okay, let's go with that. That's six so far and see what happens with time afterwards. I bet we'll have time for one more. So we have Carrie S., and we have CTT, Barbara E., Kathleen O., Audrey T., and Stacey. So let's go open it up with Carrie S. Hi, Terry.
Good morning, visionaries. This is Terry S. in Bend, Oregon, recovered food addict. And the shares this morning have been so incredible. And what I wanted to share was I was that person in the room who had to reach a level of depression and futility. And people gave me the space to be there. When I sit in the rooms now in recovery and I see people like I was, it really makes my heart hurt because the answers are here, the solution is here. It's not in your sponsor. It's not even in the meetings. It's in your higher power, but you need help to get to that higher power. That's what I see so clearly, and I grieve when I see people that come in and their light is almost out because this disease is taking it. And I remember what that was like for me. And what would happen, I would hear something in the meeting that would make me come back the next week or possibly make a phone call. And as I progressed through my recovery, relapse process and outright leaving OA, there was something in the back of my mind that just told me that there was an answer. I couldn't figure it out. I figured it wasn't for me. But for whatever reason, I kept coming back. Even though I left for 15 years, I came back. And so when I see mirror images of myself in the rooms, my heart really goes out to that. And today, I can't describe. I don't have words for what my life is transforming into. I am so grateful. It's entire abstinence. It's a level of emotional sobriety I've never had in my life. There's a connection with a higher power that actually is present with me most of the time during the day that I'm aware of it, because I'm turning to it. And I get on these meetings and I hear such incredible recovery, and I know there is still so much suffering out there, because we see it. We see it every day. And so I just encourage you, if you're in the food, if you're struggling, and even if you're not, you know, reach out and thank you. We're here. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Terry S. CTT, you're next for 3 minutes, and then Barbara E. will follow you.
Good morning. This is CT from Newport Beach, California. I'm so happy to be on this group. I wanted to share with you a little bit of experience about how God worked in my life getting me to OA. I was came in through Alcoholics Anonymous, and I was working at a company where people knew I was sober. And a girl came to me and said, there's a girl in the bathroom throwing up every day. Could you go talk to her? And I thought, I don't know anything about food addiction. So I did know somebody who was in OA, so I went to her desk and I asked her about it, and we got at the communique, which we have in Chinese. Which is our meeting directory, and we found some meetings, and lo and behold, I never really had the chance to talk to her, but what I was doing was I was finding the meetings for myself. And I went to my first meeting on a Wednesday, and in OA, I had learned to listen for the similarities, not the differences, and I sat against the wall with my arms folded and praying that I wouldn't hear anything that made sense, and everything made sense, of course, and I was pissed, and I went back the next week, and I bought some literature, and I was pissed that I had to buy literature. And then I went the next week and I bought the book, and the next week I got a sponsor. And that has been my progression over the last 15 years. And it's not been easy, but we never know when God is going to step in, and the hand of God is going to be that flimsy reed that turned into the loving, powerful hand of God. And that's my experience with that for me. And I wanted to also share another experience with God. I was really struggling with my abstinence. I have over the years struggled with, you know, am I doing it right? Am I enough? It, you know, all of that. And one of the things in my abstinence was to move, to do some kind of exercise. And I was just really wanting to have somebody who would be committed to go walk with. I'm older now. My knees don't let me run. And I couldn't find anyone. And I was talking to some people in May, and they mentioned this vision meeting. And it's at 7 o'clock in the morning here, Pacific time. And I was like, oh, my God, there's my walking partner. So I walk with you every morning. So thank you for being my walking partners and my connection to OA every morning, the beginning of my day. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, CT. Next up is Barbara E. for 3 minutes, and then Kathleen O. will follow you.
Good morning, everyone. It's Barbara E., yes, in New Jersey. And I love this meeting. I love the shares that I've heard before. The promises that are associated with step 12 are so beautiful. A practical experience shows that nothing will work so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works with when all other activities fail. I found that on page 89. And going down to page 100, when we look back, we realize that the things which came to us when we put ourselves in God's hands were better than anything we could have planned. That, to me, is the crux of my problem. I did not believe there was a God, and if there was a God, he certainly wasn't interested in me. But when I came in 1996, I came in desperate. Truly desperate. I had been on the cabbage soup diet, if you remember the cabbage soup diet. And I had been doing it, and I knew I was going to break. I knew what was going to happen, because if it's hysterical, it's historical. And I gained so many hundreds of pounds so many times before. I was desperate. I knew my life was unmanageable. I certainly knew my food was unmanageable. I needed something. But I was asked, am I desperate? And I said, oh, yes, I am. Was I willing to accept that there might be something outside myself that could help me? That was hard because I am a very obstinate person. And you tell me to cut out something and I say, no, no, I'm not going to cut that out. You say, weigh yourself only once a month. And I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to do that because I'm oppositional in nature. And I had to give that up and say, tell me how high to jump and I'll jump. Tell me which hoop to go through, I'll go through it. I'll do anything I can because I want what you have. I want to be free of the food forever and not hanging on by my fingernails. I want to feel the promises that are often coming through. I'm sorry. I don't know whether that is only heard by me or not. But whatever it is, I needed this program. I needed you. Thank you. I needed the fellowship, and I need to stop talking. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara E. Kathleen O., you're next up for 3 minutes. Audrey T. will follow.
Good morning, Melanie. This is Kathleen O., recovered in Northern California. Good to be on the line with everyone this morning. He may be more receptive when depressed. I was more receptive to this program of action because I was miserable. Food consumed my every thought, and I was truly sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know, this chapter is about carrying the message to people who, like me, have, or in my case, had, tried every diet known to man and woman. I came into a meeting, into a room, and this room was full of thin people who were happy, and they truly had what I wanted. So being able to get into that room, you know, my higher power guiding me there was truly nothing short of a miracle. And these people understood me. And their message, it wasn't a new diet. It was a message of how to recover from the seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. It was a message, excuse me, that changed how I thought, how I acted, how I behaved. It was a message that showed me how to be God-centered rather than self-centered. And that all gave me freedom from the food. And it truly did rocket me into a fourth dimension. It gave me a life that I never, ever imagined was possible. It's a gift to work with others. And when I come across people who are desperate and ready, it's wonderful. You know, if you're on this line, you're very lucky you found this program. And if you're willing to go to any length, be prepared to let the miracles begin, because there are lots of miracles. And this is a program of attraction rather than promotion. There's nothing I can say to someone who isn't ready. But if someone's ready, it's really a wonderful thing. You know, at my first meeting, there was a lot of physical recovery. And, you know, you have to ask yourself, are you done? Are you willing to go to any length? Because it's guaranteed if you're not ready, this is not going to work. But it's also guaranteed that if you are ready, it will work and your life will change. Even among the most challenging challenges, you'll know, I mean, once you get this connection with the higher power and you have this fellowship, things always work out, and you can trust that. I mean, for me, not going into fear when things get bad, there's just so many miracles in this program. And if you're ready, jump on board and do it. Let the miracles begin, and I pass. Thanks, Melanie.
Yeah, thank you, Kathleen O. Okay, next up is Audrey T., followed by Stacy K.
Oh, good morning, everyone. I'm Audrey T., undereater, overeater, and anorexic in Mission Viejo, California. And I really appreciate you guys all being there. Hopefully, I'm coming through. I can't tell. Because I can't hear anybody. Is somebody there?
Yep, we're here.
Oh, okay. This is like my third or fourth phone meeting, so So I have this sore throat, and it's like, oh boy, I get to hear a meeting this morning. I don't have to run out the door to get connected with other people. This program, you guys are helping remind me of what's important in my life, because I could get busy with my day and forget. And this program works. I know it works. I was recently on a spiritual retreat, not with program, and I came home with such a connection with my higher power, but it's a daily thing I have to do. It just doesn't last. So when you're talking about working with somebody else and not going through the family, I know with me, no matter what my family would say to me, this was years ago, didn't matter. I wasn't ready. And then when I got in program and I started this abstinence, my mom years ago, she's passed a long time ago, said, do you still need to go to those meetings now that you're married and have children? And it's like, yeah, I need to go more, because the abstinence is just a piece of the program. It's like you guys are talking about working the steps, the emotional sobriety you get, or I get, being in these rooms. And I've done a lot of growing up, and I have a long way to go. And it's been slow more than anything else, but it's been progress. And I love the gentleness I'm hearing, the progress, not perfection. Somebody called me, she had asked me to sponsor her, and all she did was leave a message saying how hard it was to pick up the phone. And I was reminded, yeah, to be gentle about it. For some reason, it's not as difficult for me to pick up the phone. I don't know what anyone else is thinking, but by picking up the phone, that was huge for her, and I need to remember that. And everyone does have their own higher power just by being there for somebody else, whether they are ready or not. Because I remember I came in years ago. I wasn't ready, but I did keep coming back. Time? Okay. So I appreciate you guys being there, and I will pass.
Thank you, Audrey T. Stacy K., you're up now, and I think that we're going to have time for at least one more person to share, if not maybe two-minute shares. Hi, Stacy.
This is Audrey M.P. in L.A.
Hey, Audrey, hang on just a second. We're going to have Stacy go for three, and then we'll take a peek at you after.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Thanks so much, Melanie, and good morning, everybody. This is Stacy K., a compulsive overeater in Colorado. This idea of my family pressuring me, I don't relate to that. It was like the exact opposite. They wanted me to join in with them, you know, like, you're not that bad, and, you know, have another helping, you know. And so, you know, being in a family where that, you know, big eaters, heavy eaters, or whatever you want to call them, whether they're compulsive eaters or not for me to decide, right? But I was kind of told the opposite, you know, like, oh, you know, you're okay, you're not that bad, you know. And maybe some of that, that foam on top of the beer, you know, giving me some of those things, like, we'll just go on a diet or whatever. So, but the pressure that I gave myself, I always wondered, you know, all the years of therapy, all the years of, you know, self-help and doing all these things, like, I wondered, where do I get this? Where do I get this thing in my brain that just, you know, beats the crap out of me and pressures myself? And, you know, I blame society a little bit, you know, but I didn't get that from my family, you know, and I didn't really get it from anybody. And so when I came into these rooms, I was kind of confused when people would, you know, like kind of let me be, because I wasn't ready yet. I wasn't done. And then, you know, I used to say, oh, that's, you know, I'm not going to go that. I'm not going to be, you know, do that. That's a little bit much. That's a little bit, you know, but I wasn't ready to put down the food. And it's amazing how things have changed in my recovery today. You know, like things that I never thought that I would do that I thought was too rigid or, really, we do this every day, all through the day? Oh my God, how do I do that? And it's just been this huge change, this psychic change. And it's like I get to be teachable today and I get to hear the message even from folks that I used to think were too strict for me. Anyway, I love this program. I love recovery. And thank you very much. Have a great day, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Stacey K. Audrey MP, are you still there? Looks like it's open for you for three.
Yes, I am.
Great. Hi.
Remarkably so. This is Audrey MP. I'm in Santa Monica, California. And good morning to everyone. Thank you for the leaders and the readers and the moderators for your service. I listen more than I speak, but I have been working the steps as a sponsor for A Vision for You, and I'm so grateful for that. I was recovering from a condition and had a surgery, and it was seemed easier because I was home to get in the groove and the mess that the routine. And I was certainly depressed because my life wasn't working, partly one from my condition and otherwise my eating and what I was doing with my eating and with my food. And I haven't been able to drive, and so I've only been able to work this program. And now my schedule has changed. I'm 62 years old. I'm back in school. I'm taking statistics. I'm doing the things that I couldn't do when I was younger. And you know, my weight and being skinny had everything to do with the decisions I made in my life. And so even though my family's not involved and I'm not working with anyone in a family, you know, there are people, the meeting that struck me the most this past week or two was the evangelism, you know, of the program and how there's so many recovered people on this line and I want it so badly. And I just got really desperate to share because I wanted to do anything but just sit down. When I listen to this meeting, I'm not putting on makeup or making coffee. I'm sitting down with my book and my pen and my notes and starting my day. And I tried to start my day without it. And I was just walking around in circles in my apartment. So I'm really receptive when I'm paying attention. And I thank my higher power for giving me the courage to change the things I can and the wisdom to know that my day isn't going to work out unless I get started with this. And I can't believe I'm like saying that, but I'm so surrendered and I so want what all of you have. And thank you for the last few minutes and I pass.
Thank you so much. Appreciate that, Audrey MP. Would someone like to take the last 90 seconds that are left here today to be able to share?
It really isn't much. I'd love that, Melanie.
Maria, it's yours. Yeah.
Thanks, Melanie. Maria F., recovered compulsive overeater from Dublin in Ireland. And just the last line here really speaks to me. He may be more receptive when depressed. And that was definitely me. Came into the room absolutely depressed, out of options. For me, it was the last house in the block. I tried for decades to find a way out of the food. And thank you, God, for that gift of desperation. Because without that, I could be still out there eating today. And just, you know, when I'm reflecting back on when I came in, there was a very small window of time because where I was open to the solution and where I was teachable, because I have this ego that just tries to rebuild. And I can remember that. I can remember being in the room and thinking after a few weeks that maybe I'd find an easier way. And for me, when I look back, you know, with the awareness that I have today and just seeing that sponsorship during that time was vital. And just the people in the room and the meetings and the fellowship, because I was just darting the steps. And looking back, you know, I couldn't find on the outside what I felt in the OA rooms. And what that was hope. I found hope in the rooms, and I found that I wanted what other people had, and that's what kept me coming back. Thanks, Melanie. Thanks for letting me share. Thank you.
Thank you for the share and for taking us out on such a wonderful high note. Thank you, everyone, for service today. If you are new here today, we welcome you with warm, open arms. Stick around. We're going to get some sponsor contact information for you later, and we will stay around with those sponsors until there's no more sponsors to give their information. So get pen and paper handy for that. So at this particular point, we're going to close out the recorded portion like we always do here at A Vision for You by reading page 164 of our big book and saying the prayer. That will close out the recorded portion, but stick around. We have 10 more minutes to go. Donna W., would you please read page 164? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Hi, this is Donna W., calling in from Palo Alto, California, gratefully abstinent and in recovery today. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit. And you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you.